I suspect that this passage from Matthew's Gospel, or at least some verses of it, are very familiar. If your brother sins against you, go to him. Whenever two of you on earth agree about anything, how many times should we forgive? No, not seven times, but 70 times seven. The thing about familiarity is that it can mean that we don't listen to the details and keep asking questions. If we consider the steps that Jesus advises, reach out to settle a dispute privately, then bring others into the discussion. But when that doesn't work, tell the whole church. We might ask, is this a suggestion only for disputes between people in the church? So much of our lives include relationships beyond the congregation. God cares about all of life. Can the suggestion, or at least some of it, be used outside the congregation? Then, if things aren't resolved, we're directed to treat him as though he were a pagan or a tax collector. Another question, but is that what Jesus does if we look at the whole gospel? Jesus continued to repeat that his message was for everyone, pagans or Gentiles, and tax collectors too. Remember that he told Zacchaeus, the tax collector, to expect him as a dinner guest. And then a third question is the same one asked by Peter. How many times do I have to forgive him? Well, when you do the math, we realize it's too many to keep track of. Who is going to live life keeping score of how many times forgiveness is a choice that is made over permanent separation? Because most important question, whenever we ponder scripture, familiar or not, is how does this inform our living here and now? The Good News Bible in your pews was published over a span of time, the New Testament in 1966 and the Old 10 years later. The goal was to give readers a version of the Bible in standard everyday language. But you know that language changes all the time. Half the words a lot of young people say as they express things weren't around when I was their age. In 2002, teacher and theologian Eugene Peterson offered another contemporary version, and it is titled The Message. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he doesn't listen, take one or two others along, and if he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven? Jesus replied, seven, hardly. Try 70 times seven. You might guess, if the sermon title caught your mind, that "Work It Out Between You" stayed with me from that version. That's an underlying theme of every guide for relationships and an admonition that children hear from their earliest experiences. Learning to share and playing nice with others is a big part of children's work to figure out life. How many of us can recall hearing or saying ourselves, "You too need to work this out"? There are ages and stages of intensity with that ongoing work. But it's a significant theme, no matter what our age. And many of our human interactions are evidence that causing the hurt is seldom one-sided. Parents are used to hearing, "She started it," or "He started it." But as we accumulate years of experience, we learn that sorting out who is to blame initially isn't as important as committing to an effort to reconcile. Taking the first step, going to talk to someone about hurt feelings, is hard, especially if the stakes are high. If fear is present of making things even worse, or adding to the misunderstanding, or being rejected, and if discord between two individuals is scary, considering how to encourage reconciliation between groups, within a community, let alone a region, a country, or a world, is daunting. We declare like the psalmist, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, we trust God is with us." Sometimes it's hard to get the direction. Consider how stressful some of our civic disputes feel. Many groups can't even figure out how to begin to work things out. We read or listen to news and note a rhythm between shouting or total silence. There's not a lot of space between shouting loudly and refusing to talk at all, where you can work it out. People talk about making a commitment, but figuring out what to do is more than a great challenge. Jesus was called rabbi, teacher, by his disciples and followers. He often spoke in stories, the kind of stories that offered a framework and some action, but were ones that you could read again and again and consider possibilities. Searching in the familiar story for wisdom and guidance, considering how different characters in the story might feel or act, and again, all the while imagining what we can take away and use from the tale. God in Between is a modern story. It's a large-scale book with colorful illustrations, which makes you think, oh, it's for children. Contemporary American Reformed Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sasso crafted the following story for people of every age. Once there was a town at the foot of a hill. The town had no roads, and most of the houses in the town had no windows. Without roads or paths, the people of the town had difficulty getting around. They would struggle through tall weeds and tumble into deep holes and trip over rocks. And those without windows in their houses could never look out. People became discouraged. Everyone was so tired of seeing nothing and going nowhere. So they made their way to the center of the town to decide what to do. But they couldn't agree on any plan. One person spoke up, "I have heard there is a God, and when people find God, God solves their problems." "Let us find God," someone shouted, "and God will build windows and roads for us." Others thought it was a ridiculous notion. If God were real, God would find us. But without any other suggestions, they began to consider what next. So who would go to search for God and where? They turned to the one man and the one woman who lived in two old houses that had windows. If you can see out windows, perhaps you can see a way to God. So the people sent them to search for God, and they decided to go separate ways on their searches. The woman went to a tall mountain and then to the ocean, but she didn't find God. And the man traveled to a desert and then journeyed into a cave, but he did not find God. And eventually they became tired and decided to end their searches. Each hoped the other had been successful. On the way back to the town, they reunited, and they sat on a boulder and shared their stories and found some comfort in that sharing. But they realized it was time to return. The townspeople saw them approaching and struggled through tall weeds and tumbled into deep holes and tripped over rocks to greet them. "Tell us," they shouted, "where is God?" The searchers replied, "Each of us made a long journey to mountain and ocean, to desert and cave, but we did not find God." Some said, "Oh, we were right all along. There is no God." The people began complaining again about all the problems in their windowless, roadless town. Days passed, and much appeared the same, except the man and the woman began to work together, helping each other put windows in all the rooms in their houses. They cut down weeds, filled in holes, and cleared away rocks to build a road between the houses. And the townspeople eventually noticed and were stunned. "How did you do that?" they asked. The reply, "With God's help." "But you told us you couldn't find God." "We journeyed many miles looking for God, and then we found each other. And we discovered God was with us on the journey, here at home, wherever we are." Someone said, "But I can't see God anywhere. I just see you." If God is here, show us where. And everybody gathered close to listen to the answer. And it was, God is in the between. In between us. Praise the Lord, O my soul, for you are God in our interactions. May we follow Jesus' advice, approaching one another with our concerns, listening to each other with open minds and hearts, never giving up, ready to forgive again and again, and always in every encounter. May we be ready to discover God in between. The good news of the gospel leads us to trust that with God's help, we can work it out. Amen.